Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Scottish Sun Football Podcast. My name is Andy Devon. I'm joined by my colleagues Robert Grieve and Gareth Law, and also Wally Back from Hills Bookmakers. We are going to look forward, obviously, to the weekend action. But first, Robert, we're going to take a quick look back to Wednesday night. Tuesday night, I beg your pardon, in Germany. You were
get
there.
Right, Andy, come on.
Mönchengladbach, yes, I apologise. Too early for me. A great point for Celtic in the end.
It was, given they scored the equaliser, with 50 minutes to go, a penalty, obviously, but a well-worked opportunity to get the penalty. I thought Borussia Mönchengladbach, to a certain extent, Andy, were there for the taking. I wasn't at the first game, I was on holiday, but by all accounts, they played Celtic off the park, at Celtic Park. But in Germany, I wasn't overly impressed by them, and I thought they were pretty much there for the taking. But at the same time, you'll think a Celtic team with their away record in Europe down the years recently, for them to go there and get a point from a top Bundesliga team, I think it speaks volumes for them.
You know, the pleasing aspect for Brendan Rodgers, Robert, must be, if you look, the lessons were learned in the new camp following the 7-0 defeat. And lessons, as you say, I was at Mönchengladbach, you were on holiday, I had to fill in for you. And they were played off the park, but they obviously adapted, took that on board, and put on a much better performance in Germany.
Yeah, but I think most people seeing at the game on night, as I say, were maybe a little bit, not disappointed, that's not the right word, because they were delighted about it. But it didn't seem to be the same team. They kind of backed off Celtic. People were talking about the fans as well in Germany, how they weren't quite at it either. You know, people were expecting a huge atmosphere in the game, and it didn't kind of turn out that way. But yeah, Celtic did learn lessons. I think they get a tactic spot on. You look at that Celtic defence as well, Andy. It wasn't the defence that played together before. You know, the real injury problems. Jozo Simeonovic missing the game, left at home. As he kind of eases his way back into full fitness. So the kind of Celtic defence was on try. Cole Touré also missing. Mikael Listruc played centre half. Eric Spiritschenko beside him. And Christian Gamboa on the right. Emilio Izaguirre on the left. It was a back four that you will not see again almost in European games if these guys come back. So I thought it was a big test for Celtic. They cope with it, but as I say from what I'm saying at the start, Andy, I wasn't overly impressed with Mönchengladbach. I thought Celtic could have won the game. I mean, you look at the late chance that they had with Callum McGregor, they should have won the game.
Will they do that missed chance at the end, Gareth?
In terms of qualifying?
Yeah,
I think so. I think they've got too much to do now to get back. As Robert touched on there, I was going to say, I mean, it's strange that in theory Celtic were weaker in that game. In terms of the personnel they had,
Mönchengladbach
were stronger on paper compared to the injuries they had in Glasgow. But I just think that defeat in Glasgow could end up costing them. I think they've got two massive games to follow now. They're going to be, well, Willie will probably give us possibly the odds against Barcelona or qualifying.
Yeah, and it's pretty much exactly what you were saying. I had a wee look this morning. Celtic are 9-1 to finish third. They're not even quoted in the betting to actually win the group. Obviously, they qualify for the last 16, but just to finish third, which I think is probably with the two teams are going for. It's 10-1 on Borussia Mönchengladbach. Celtic 9-1. So yeah, pretty much given no hope. Having a look at the actual odds for the Barcelona game, Celtic are 12-1 at Celtic Park. Jeez. To beat Barcelona, 9-1 the draw. Barcelona 3-10. But you know, you look at that 12-1. It seems massive for Celtic, even against Barcelona.
Yeah. It does as well when you think about it. Before that game the other night, and you look at how Borussia Mönchengladbach played in Glasgow, and look at how Barcelona had performed, especially against Celtic. I mean, it's changed overnight in a lot of ways, Andy. If you think about it, that Barcelona go to Man City, get turned over there. Celtic get a decent result, or a very good result in Germany, and suddenly people are looking at this Barcelona Celtic game next and thinking, do you know what? If they can get a result there. It suddenly flips you know.
It's given them hope, because at one point on Tuesday night they were out of Europe, they were out of Champions League, etc. They've still got a shot at the Champions League. Realistically, the Europa League, you know, beyond Christmas is the target. John Hartson, your good friend Robert, is in the paper this morning, in the Sun this morning, saying he thinks Celtic have got a better chance of beating Barcelona than they do Man City. Barcelona coming to Celtic Park, Celtic having to go down to the Etihad. Is that fair?
Well, I don't know who wrote John's stuff this morning. It wouldn't even be having him say that. No, listen, I think Barcelona are the best club team in the
world. Is that not a crazy price, 12-1?
I think it is a crazy price, but at the same time, it's asking a lot for Celtic to get anything off Barcelona. Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's Barcelona. That front three would destroy any team. I think 12-1 is a tempting price, because you think down the years the Celtic fans could easily lift the team, and who knows, they could get a result. But I think it's still asking a lot. You look at the last two games, it's two mouth-watering games. Mm. Home to Barcelona, away to Man City. Those are the games you want to see your top Scottish teams playing it.
And having done, sorry Gareth, having done the guts of this, I mean, Gareth saying he doesn't think, you know, that McGregor's miss might have done for Celtic in terms of, you know, do you think 9-1, well, is that right? For
9-1 to finish that.
Is that
again,
a good...
Again, I think that's not a tempting price, yeah, to honest with. I think they're in with a shout. I'm not saying they will do it. I think it's going to be very difficult for Celtic, but I think that's a very tempting price. Mm. I'm not a huge gambler, as you know, Andy, but I might stick a couple of pound in that.
Gareth, aside for that last comment.
Yeah, I think we can quickly move on from that. Yeah, one. Yeah. What I was going to say was, I mean, even if they don't make it through post-Christmas, mm, Brendan Rodgers said he wanted his team to play with personality the other night. Mm. He spoke about that after the game. And I think, clearly, it was a point on the road. When Celtic have gone away in Europe, they've not got a great record. Mm. But I think they can come back with belief. And again, it's another building block in the Brendan Rodgers revolution.
Yeah, and from a Celtic fan's point of view, Robert, getting to the Champions League group stages this season was all important because of, you know, what had gone on in the last 3 years. They did that. Some people said it was a group of death, but, you know, as you say, you've got a mouth-watering game against Barcelona still to come, being to the new camp, Celtic obviously going to the Etihad as well. I mean, surely these are the games that, yeah, supporters want and the players want to be involved in.
Bruce, you mentioned Gladbach handy that night. What a stadium. Terrific. You're sitting there, fantastic, you know, you're sitting there watching that, going to the new camp, and these teams are coming to Glasgow. It's absolutely what we want to see our teams. It was interesting, Brendan Rodgers, pre-game the other day, talking about how he's wanting to turn Celtic into a team that gets into the last 16 on a regular basis. Mm. He doesn't just want to qualify. He doesn't want to just get into the group stages. For him, that's not enough. And I think that's fantastic. We want our teams to be doing well and getting there, but we also want them to compete. And that's what they did in Germany. As I say, I think they could easily have won that game. They could easily come back with the 3 points. You think about it as well, I think a point to Celtic the other night, Andy, was worth about 400,000 euros.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal money, you know, to go into Europe, get a point, and you're thinking the money that's adding up, you're touching £30 million from this tournament already for Celtic. Absolutely tremendous.
You can watch the goals from all the big SPFL games on the website at thescottishsun.co.uk/sport.
We'll obviously look ahead to the SPFL fixtures, starting obviously with Friday night's game between Partick Thistle and Aberdeen. First of all though, gentlemen, I would like to touch on Scotland-England. Obviously we'll get into that in more greater detail next week. However, Gordon Strachan named his 25-man squad yesterday, Gareth. No real surprises other than Scott Brown back in the fold. What's your take on it? There's some people saying, you know, Gordon Strachan was unclear whether he's back for good.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gordon Strachan's own position is still unclear. Are you happy to see Scott Brown back in the fold? As a Welshman?
I'm the neutral voice here.
Yeah.
Happy to see him back in terms of the quality he brings. But if he is only back for one game, I don't think that is the right option. There's guys in that squad who... You know, you can't pick and choose your games for your country. I think that's wrong. If he's just going to be back now, that might be dictated by whether Gordon Strachan is still the manager after the England game. But I just think, as I say, you can't pick and choose your games. And there's guys who will be sitting in the stand who aren't in that squad,
who have been available for Lithuania, who have been available for Slovakia,
who have travelled.
Who cares, Gareth? Who cares? And I think the best will in the world, you're Welsh, so your opinion on this doesn't really matter. But who cares? Because
Sir Gary Welshman don't have an opinion.
You're allowed your opinion, but when it comes to Scotland, not really. Listen, Scotland need a result against England in Wembley. We need a result, we need a performance. And if you're telling me there's better players out there right now,
I'm not saying that.
We're not looking at the bigger picture right now. We need a result at Wembley. We need our best
so
players.
It's desperation. Is that what you're saying? It's desperation.
Well, that's your word. We need a result and a performance at Wembley. And we need our best players at Wembley. And if it's 90 minutes for Scott Brown, be quiet, Gareth, then we'll take that.
But how does this, I agree with Gareth to an extent, Robert, because it grates with me that, you know, you're unavailable for Lithuania. Gordon Strachan spoke yesterday, I was at his press conference, was Scott Brown is a man that you can turn to in a time of crisis.
Yep.
Lithuania losing 1-0 was a time of crisis. There was no Scott Brown to turn to. Losing 3-0 in Slovakia was obviously another time of crisis, and there was no Scott Brown to turn to. You must understand the reaction of some supporters who say he's just wanting back because it's England at Wembley. If the result doesn't go for us, Scott Brown might not be there.
I think that will be the case. If the result doesn't go against us, then Scott Brown will no longer be there, and I don't think Gordon Strachan will be there either. However, I don't think that's the reason why Scott Brown is doing this. I don't think he's looking at this from a selfish point of view and thinking, I want to play at Wembley. I think he's looking at this from a point of view that his manager, or Gordon Strachan, a man who he looks up to, trusts and admires, is in a bit of stick at the minute. And he's in a position where he needs all the help he can get. Robert Snodgrass, I know, is in the squad. Must be a serious doubt. Mm-hmm. These others who are off form. Scott Brown is someone he can trust, he feels he can trust. So, for me, the two of them have got together and decided, yeah, let's do this. Now, it might be for one game. It might be for one game. But if you're telling me that Scotland go and get a result at Wembley and then Scott Brown's going to wrap it again, I don't think that'll be the case. I think he'll be there.
If Scotland lose at Wembley,
if Scotland lose at Wembley, all bets are off, because we'll be looking for a new manager, almost certainly. I think Gordon Strachan could very easily take the decision, right, this isn't working, and he goes. And if he goes, then Scott Brown will go with him. I think Scott Brown made his decision. You're talking about he wasn't there for Slovakia, and he wasn't there for Lithuania. I think Scott Brown made his decision with the best intentions. He looked at it, he needed, his body at Celtic has been through the mill in recent years, and he was probably looking at the Scotland situation and with a cut off of the qualifiers starting, thinking this is the time to do it, it's a clean break. Now, it hasn't happened for Scotland since then, so I think he's looked at it from a point of view where Strachan and the team need help. Now, you can look at it and say, there's guys going to be sitting in the stand who otherwise would be playing. Who cares? I could not care less if that means that Scotland get a result at Wembley. There is no room for sentiment, Gareth.
Can I ask you two questions, Robert?
But there is no room for sentiment in this. And right now, Scott Brown is one of the best Scotland players available, so let's get him on the team.
The first question would be, is Scott Brown good enough to make a difference? He's good. He's the best player.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think he's
next
good
question,
enough.
Gareth.
I don't think he's good enough to beat England on his own. He's not good enough to lift that team up to
nobody's
the quality
saying,
that
nobody's saying
that
Gareth is going to be good enough to beat England on his own. Nobody's saying that by any stretch of the imagination.
No, to improve
but
the team.
He improves the team.
Yes, but not to the levels that will beat England.
Yeah, I think Scotland have a chance of beating England.
Really?
And I think we have a better chance of beating England, and Willie Black will tell us the odds on that in a second. I think we have a better chance of beating England with Scott Brown in the team, and anyone, Gareth, you included, you especially, who thinks otherwise, is talking through here in your head.
Can I ask you one other question then? I know you kind of count yourself as a team player, so if you were down to do cover a lot of games as a reporter, and then the big game of the campaign comes along, and somebody else is given that game.
It's happened to me, Gareth.
Somebody who, and I saw the way you reacted, actually, Robert.
Yeah, I'm not saying for a second that anyone who misses out in England at Wembley is going to be delighted about it. Absolutely not.
That
can
be good for good harmony.
Gentlemen,
I shouldn't be delighted about it. And I tell you what, Andy, before you go, when Chris Boyd decided to step down for Scotland, I said at the time, and I said it to Chris Boyd, I didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be able to pick and choose. I get
so
that.
You're changing your team.
No, I get that. But in this game, Scotland need all the help we can get. We are not a very good team at the minute. And Scott Brown, Andy, as you will agree, I'm sure, is one of our best players.
Yeah, I do. I do agree with you, Robert. I have a problem with picking and choosing your games for your country. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that should be done.
I think it would be a bigger issue. It would be a bigger indictment of Scott Brown if he was to look at this situation and say he wasn't wanting to play.
Yeah, but the difference
I think
is
that would be worse than Scott Brown. If he had a manager who he knew wanted him, a manager who respected him and looked up. If he, in that situation, he knew that Gordon Strachan wanted him back in the Scotland team, and he didn't answer this call, I think that would be a worse indictment of Scott Brown.
Why not commit himself for more than one game?
Who's to say he hasn't?
Well, why not come out and say it then? What's the secret?
That'll all come out in the wash after Wembley. It's a game we all know we have to win.
But Andy,
we
before anything else, don't ask Gareth Law about Scotland issues ever again.
Okay. Willie, could we get the gentlemen, keep it civil, please. Could we please, Willie, have some odds for Scotland heading down to the old enemy?
Yeah, hearing you talk about kind of like team harmony and stuff like that, the worst thing for team harmony is getting beaten down at Wembley on Friday. Scotland are, you know, really big odds for Scotland to win, not fancy.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
17-2, so 8.5 times your money.
Yep.
72 the draw, England 4-11. Scotland, we've dropped to fourth in the betting just to qualify. So 71 to qualify, yeah, 1-20 not to qualify. So I think for me, I'll take Scott Brown and anybody else that wants to.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll have a 2-0 Scotland victory with Scott Brown for the first goal.
Okay, we'll have a chat about that in next week's podcast.
Yeah, we'll look at that again in more greater detail next week.
Like SunSport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
Moving on, if we can, gentlemen, to the list of weekend fixtures. You know, Willie's here, he's got all the odds coming up for you. It's the last game of the weekend, Ross County against Rangers, but I'd like to go there first of all, primarily, Robert, with the situation surrounding Joey Barton and the ongoing saga that we have here. He's back at Murray Park this morning. He's in training with the kids, the under-20 team. He'll train with them, eat with them, and then obviously absolutely no contact with the first team. Are you surprised to see him back at Murray Park at all, or Auchenhowie at all, or are Rangers right to do so?
I'm not surprised to see him back to the point where, Andy, that thing that had to happen. I think Rangers reached that stage where they couldn't get him out the door, so they were going to have to allow him back. Now they're clearly allowing him back through the back door and then with the kids team. For me, this whole thing's a mess. Rangers need to sort it out. You can't tell me Joey Barton coming in and out of Murray Park or Auchenhowie at the minute and training with the kids is good for anyone. And I know there's an argument to say that it could benefit the kids to see a player like Joey Barton, who's still a talented player, still a quality player for me, that's going to benefit these kids. No, it's a circus now. Rangers need to, if they can, solve this or resolve this. But at the minute, that doesn't look likely. For me, he'll go in January, and I think there's no doubt he'll go in January. Almost, I would not be surprised if he returns to Burnley, Sean Dyche's Burnley, but the whole thing's a mess. It's been a mess almost since day one, since Joey Barton came into the club. He's had too much to say for himself behind the scenes. And do you know what? In all of this, Mark Warburton is maybe the one guy I feel sorry for to a certain extent, because he's caught in the middle of it. Now, Barton's obviously had issues with him, which has brought us to this point, but he signed Joey Barton with good intentions. Now, you could argue that a lot of people predicted this could happen, but Joey Barton was a lot of people's tip. I think you, Randy, you tipped him to be player of the year in this country.
No, I didn't tip him to be player of the year.
Beg your pardon, right. I thought you did in the paper. A lot of people did, and I don't mean in a bad way. I'm not trying to dig you up. I think a lot of people did predict.
Did you tip Andy?
I think you might have tipped Joey Barton.
Dougie Arnott.
Anyway, a lot of people did. Forgive me if you didn't, but a lot of people did, and understandably so, because this is a guy that came from a good level down in England. But anyway, it's not worked out for him. Rangers need to resolve this quickly, otherwise the circus is only going to roll on into next year.
The reason he's back, Gareth, obviously Rangers had to go through the HR protocol.
Yeah,
that's clear. I mean, I think most Rangers fans would have liked him back at Murray Park, not necessarily cheering with the first team, but back in some capacity, because all I've had is tweets of Joey Barton on the golf course, tweets of Joey Barton up a mountain with his dog.
Yeah,
you know, he's claiming all this money and wages each week and doing nothing for it. They've obviously had to go through the process. That's why he's back today. Do you agree with Robert? Do you see him going in January?
I think he's going to go in January, and when you look at it, I suppose he doesn't want to be there. They don't want him there. Mm. You know, he's taken all reference to Rangers off his Twitter page. You know, I saw him speaking at the Cheltenham Literature Festival the other week, and
that was interesting.
He didn't mention Rangers. If he didn't know he played for Rangers, you wouldn't know he played for Rangers. So, you know, I know it's very easy to say, why don't they just cut a deal and just be done with it now. It's doing neither party any good with this kind of circus carrying on for another couple of months.
Is that festival, is that on every week, or is it just once a year?
I think you'd have it every week if you could get rid of it every week.
Performance in,
Could be some odds, Willie, please, for Ross County Rangers on Sunday.
Yeah, Rangers. Listen, I tipped up to him. I never tipped on Marnock last week, but I thought to Marnock were a cracking price heading to Ibrox, and Rangers obviously played well, good result, and I'm sorry, but I think Ross County are a decent price here as well. 41 Ross County, 3-1 the draw. Rangers 13-20. I think, I mean, last week Ross County played Celtic up in Dingwall, and I actually thought Ross County were really, really impressive. I know they're third bottom or second bottom just now, but I think 41 is a big price.
Could we have, just before we get into the detail, obviously Partick Thistle tomorrow evening against Aberdeen. What are the odds on that game?
Probably no surprise. Aberdeen, you know, they're two games lost in a row here. 10-11 Aberdeen, 15-2 the draw. Thistle 10-3, but I Thistle on a bit of a decent run at the minute. So yeah, just over 3-1 your money, Partick Thistle.
Any other good bets jump out at you for Saturday? Obviously Celtic, Inverness, Dundee, Motherwell, Hearts, St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, Hamilton.
Yeah, I think probably the most interesting one that I'm looking at is, I spoke earlier about Celtic being 12-1 at home to Barcelona. Inverness are the biggest price I've ever seen in a UK Cupen just now, out with kind of top games. Inverness 14-1 at Celtic Park, 61 the draw, Celtic 61 on, but I looked at 14-1 this morning and thought that is massive.
Yeah. Going, you know, Inverness had been going really well under Richie Foran, obviously lost to Rangers, but Richie Foran had won manager of the month for September and deservedly so, Robert. You fancying a couple of quid in 14-1?
No, I don't think I do. I think Celtic will win. Celtic domestically these days, Andy, are wiping the floor. They've been made to work. The Ross County game, you're right, a shadow squad, and Celtic were under pressure for times in that game. They end up winning what, 4-0. Mm-hmm. You know, they're brushing teams aside domestically at the minute, and it looks very ominous for the rest, if you're being honest. So I don't see anything other than a home victory.
Can you see, I mean, there's been talk about it already, can you see Celtic
all season?
Yeah, you know, this invincible tag that Arsenal had in 2003, was it? I mean, can you see that? They're obviously drawn against Inverness, other than that, it's been victories all the way. Can you see that coming to pass?
Listen, when you look at each game on a game-to-game basis, if I was to sit here every Thursday and talk about the Celtic game, you'd almost certainly predict a Celtic victory, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
The Old Firm games are obviously going to be difficult for various reasons, especially when they go to Ibrox, it's a different game, but on a game-to-game basis you would almost certainly predict a Celtic victory, but whether they can do that over the course of the season, there will almost certainly be one blip or two blips or a handful of blips, because that's just the nature of it. But I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that right now Celtic are far and away the best team in the division.
I think as well, you've got to remember, they're doing this as well as playing in Europe.
Yeah.
And when Europe comes to an end, probably at Christmas time or just before Christmas time, you know, their full focus will then be on the league. I mean, we've seen it before. They've dropped points in the past when they've been coming back from European games. You know, they haven't been doing that this time as much. And you can just see them steamrolling teams, you know, when Europe finishes.
Yeah. But there you go. That's a point, Andy. Celtic last week go to Dingwall for Ross County game. Traditionally a difficult game, a midweek game as well. Traditionally an awkward game for them, albeit it was 1-0 for a long period in the game. They end up winning 4-0 with a team, you know, fringe players coming in and doing a job for them. So, yeah, as I say, I think Celtic right now are far and away the best team in the league.
And it's obviously increases the pressure on the likes of Aberdeen, the likes of Hearts, the likes of Rangers to try and continue to push them.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following SunSport on Twitter.
Aberdeen up first, of course, tomorrow night. Losing, you know, after winning the semi-final to get through to the League Cup final, lost to Hamilton Accies, and obviously, again, lost to Celtic at Pittodrie. Partick Thistle, you know,
picked up, yeah, they got a good result last week against St Johnstone, I think a late goal.
Yeah.
I actually had them in my coupon last week.
Well, you said you weren't a big
I didn't say it, I just...
So it was you.
I have the odd coupon, it didn't even come up incidentally, all teams let me down.
Does Arlene listen to this?
What was your question, Andy?
I was just saying, it's obviously Aberdeen, the pressure is on them to get a victory at Fir Hill on Friday night to try and keep some sort of pressure on Celtic.
Yeah.
And will Aberdeen do so tomorrow night? The other ties on Saturday leaping out, obviously, we have to touch on Motherwell. We have to touch on Motherwell after last week's...
You still pretend to be a Motherwell fan, Andy,
sensational victory at home against Ross County, dismantled Ross County, against a Dundee team, Gareth, who also got a much-needed win.
I don't think Dundee are out of the woods quite yet. I think they're still missing the goals that ran through that team last season. You can't just take two players away who not just scored the goals but also provided a lot of assists for each other last season. You can't just take them out of a squad and expect them to keep getting the goals. Goals are going to be a real problem for them for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be a long, long, hard season for Dundee right now.
And I look at it as well, you know, Kilmarnock and Hamilton, another huge game for two teams that, you know, are good 1 week and then, you know, they're just lacking that consistency.
Yeah, I mean, Kilmarnock had done okay coming into that Rangers game last week. I think they'd have gone into that game at Ibrox hoping and thinking they might be able to take something from it, especially after the way Rangers had played against St Johnstone prior to that. But Lee Clark, I think you don't bring that number of players in to a club, the number he brought in there in the summer, and expect them to gel straight away. Mm-hmm. So I think it was always going to take time there. They were relying a lot on Koulibaly's goals.
Whose goals?
You heard. He's going to be a big player for them. He's going to get them a lot of points that they might not otherwise get. In terms of Hamilton, they had the good result against Aberdeen last week as well. But consistency is a big problem for these teams.
And lastly, Robert, the final game to touch on on Saturday's round of fixtures.
So
Hearts against St Johnstone.
I thought you were going somewhere else with this.
No, I'm going to ask you about Hearts against St Johnstone.
Hearts against St Johnstone. Yeah, well, St Johnstone need to bounce back from that defeat to Partick Thistle last week, a late one for them. I think by all accounts they didn't play particularly well. I watched St Johnstone against Rangers a couple of days earlier. I was actually very impressed with them for spells in that game. But yeah, I think it would be unusual to go down the years for unusual for a Tommy Wright St Johnstone team to lose back to back games. So I would expect them to make it a tough game.
And will Rangers build on their impressive performance and victory over Kilmarnock last Saturday?
Yeah, well, I know you were very impressed with them. So yeah, I think I would not be surprised by that at all. I think Rangers aren't as bad as some people make out in a minute. They've crept their way up to second place. And yeah, so it wouldn't again surprise me if they were to maintain that form.
Gareth, can you see a Rangers victory in Dingwall on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I can. I don't think Ross County will make it easy for them. I mean, we're talking about Rangers being in second spot right now, but you can't forget that they're still 9 points behind, I think. There's a long way to make up, especially when Celtic keep producing the results. But yeah, on that game in particular, I can see Rangers winning that.
That's the SPFL wrap-up. In the Championship this weekend, it's Ayr United against Hibernian, Perfermline against Raith, Falkirk against Morton, Queen of the South against Dundee United, and St Mirren against Dumbarton. Now, the one fixture, Gareth, that jumps out at me is Falkirk-Morton.
Why would that be?
Well, Morton, and in particular Jim Duffy, I'm so impressed with him against Aberdeen in the League Cup semi-final. Really unfortunate, I felt. I thought they played very good football, organised, disciplined, and of course, they got a sensational victory in midweek, 3-1 against St Mirren.
St Mirren, right.
Willie, could I have some odds, please? Falkirk against Morton, have you anything for us?
Yeah, well, decent price in Morton, actually. You can continue that run. 11-4 you're getting from Morton. Obviously, a difficult journey down to Falkirk. Falkirk 8-11, the draw 13-5. But I think you're right. I think probably the bigger price there looks a bit of value at 11-4.
And Robert, Jim Duffy's one of your closest friends in this game. Has been for a long, long time. You must be impressed with the job he is doing at Greenock Morton.
Absolutely. I've said it before. I think on this podcast, Jim Duffy, for me, one of the most underrated managers in Scotland. Tremendous coach and manager. Yeah, he's done a tremendous job there. I think I was obviously in Germany on Tuesday night for the Celtic match, but I'm told the victory over St Mirren was 3 breakaways. Got a couple of might be offside as well.
Right.
So they were clearly very lucky in that game, but hey, well done to Duff.
In all seriousness, we'll just wrap up this podcast. As a St Mirren supporter, Robert, are you concerned at the minute with events at Paisley?
Well, I'll have to say I'm not overly impressed. But there's absolutely no doubt for me that Jack Ross is a good appointment for St Mirren. He needs time to get his ideas across. And given that time, I don't think there's any doubt that St Mirren will climb the league. There's talk of people, I think Gareth might have mentioned the relegation playoffs or something for St Mirren. Absolute nonsense. But then,
Can you just put that accusation down in writing?
That pretty much sums up Gareth's opinion in here that we don't really listen to it too much. I think St Mirren will climb up the league and they should be fine this season.
We mentioned the Literature Festival earlier. I don't think I read as much fiction down there as I've heard you spout today, actually.
Goodness me, gentlemen. On that bombshell, I think we'll wrap it up. My thanks to Willie Black from Willie Hills, Robert Grieve, the chief football writer, and of course, Gareth Law. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.